Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
going off now on a bread run delivery. So everyone knows what bread is, I hope. Basically, it's flour and yeast. This is leavened bread. Yeast has the little funguses eat the bread for a while. As they eat, they take in, they breathe in oxygen, and they output carbon dioxide. It forms little bubbles, and you heat it up. When it's bubbly, it's risen, and the outer layer, dries out and forms a crust, the bread. Now, what happens is that there's surplus bread made in Australia, and it's given to one person who runs a bread cooperative. This is free bread, and every Friday, first Friday of the month, is it? Oh, yeah, first Friday of the month. It's last or first Friday of the month, I go pick it up, we take what we want, and then if there's any left over from what we've taken, we deliver it to friends. And of course, that's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm just delivering a spag full of probably about 20 rolls, something like that, to friends, to a friend to go like that. Now, what I'm going to do is, doing this, you get to check in on people or have general conversations. And this particular person who collects the bread also has chickens. And we have a few talks about chickens. Chickens are notoriously difficult and fussy to manage. They've got their own social stuff. And in the mountains up in Australia, there's heaps and heaps of mites. And so chicken takes quite a lot to get going, get this social. They are a social animal to get going. And one time a fox just sat on a fence and looked at them, and it killed. The stress of seeing the fox killed all but one chicken. They all just dropped dead. So that's a pretty amazing story to come across. So let's go up here, checking there's no crashes. And the other story is that this person, they had a new little white dog. I said, oh, what happened to the other dog? And that dog was bitten by a snake. And of course, Australia has the most venomous snakes in the world, in the Sydney region, just up and around your around your backyard. You can see them. You can often, the eastern grey, which I think is the world's deadliest snake, is something comes along, and you can often walk and it will use the noise that you are making to glide behind you, along with you during the hot weather and stuff like that. But this little dog attacked a snake, it bit it, and then I'll have to tell the story as I do this next thing. I'm about to drop off the bread run here, see how it gives. I don't think they're in. They don't look as though they're in. That's C'est la vie. I'll be back with you on the story of the dog which died of a snake bite. I'll just quickly continue the story about the dog and the snake bite, because I'm sure there's some sort of fascination with it. Firstly, the dog yelped, then it came inside and was pretty shaken and frightened, and it sat near the owner, and then it wasn't very good. Then it vomited, and then they looked up and realised the little dog had been bitten by a snake. And then they phoned up the vet. The only vet open at that time was one down way in Nalgoa. So it's about 15 kilometres, 15 clicks complexity. So they took the little dog, and as it was in the car, it then shat itself. It or shat itself, and then they took it them. Now there is these sort of anti-venoms that they have, but at this stage they saw the dog was very weak at this time, and the vet just gave it painkillers, and the little dog died. So that was a pretty sad thing. But I don't know, something not 1 in 20, between 1 in 20 and 1 in 100, 1% to 5% of dogs die this way in Australia. That's a fairly high number of dogs, you know, they get dispatched this way, you know, little snakes going around the place. Amazing, humans don't get the same, and kids don't get the same sort of treatment. And of course, it's sometimes hard to identify the snake, and it's also there's snakes which look exactly the same, however they've got a different scale pattern. You know, you have to have a microscope or something like that to tell what's different. So there's a different number of scales, and the scales around the anus. You know, this is all very important. Now, a lot of people used to think that snakes... Now, Australian snakes are primitive snakes, so unlike your, Indian, you know, the cobra and stuff like that, it doesn't have a hollow tooth. It's actually got a tooth with a guide in it, and so the venom just, it bites in, and the venom sort of, so it's all pretty block around, and they tend to bite two or three times. They don't go. And the important thing is that they go through the lymphatic system. So they bite. They pool up there, and the lymph nodes do what they do. This is foreign matter, and eventually they just transport your body does the work of moving the poison around the place. So this little dog would have jumped around the place and done. One of the things that you do with a snake bite is, well, obviously move away from the bloody snake, but then you have to keep the patient still, and wherever the bite is, you bind it up really, really tightly to stop the to just basically shut down the lymph nodes so it doesn't. Well, obviously, it's apparently excruciatingly painful, the actual bite. This is all part of the general thing to the mixes of toxins are to inflict pain. Obviously, they want the little thing to go away, but they also to be effective. Obviously, when it hits a rodent, that is gone. And this is the entire thing. You often with chickens, you get rats. With rats, you get these snakes, and of course these snakes dispatch rats pretty quickly. In fact, often people know they've got a red belly black snake. This various snakes, and the people know what's happening with the snakes, and they have there, and particularly if you've got chickens, having a snake is actually not that bad, because it gets rid of the rats. And of course rats are just endemic. Of course we've had plagues of rats out here, and mice. I'll do be back in a while. My next episode, I've got to buy cheese and salsa. How about that? Let's see how that goes. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back with you soon. Okay, just having bought my salsa and cheese. I hope it's the cheapest possible grated cheese. I hope my family doesn't revolt at it. It's hard to say. They don't. But they, if it's a bad thing, it's a bad thing. I can't. How do you describe it? Okay, look, there's lots of poisonous things in Australia, but you know, there's lions and cheetahs and other big things which can kill you. And overseas, I suppose, there's you know, in Malaysia, the animals are pretty, I believe in Vietnam, they're pretty scary, but it's sort of not a thing. And you sort of get used to look out for where funnel webs are and where redback spiders, you sort of know instantly that the moment you touch a web which doesn't break, you go, uh-oh, that's a redback spider web. Snakes, the thing about snakes is that you've got to sort of know the different ones. A lot of the very toxic ones aren't particularly aggressive, they're quite timid. You get to think you know them. The tiger snake is one which is, so the tiger snake's the Victorian one. They grow to on King Island, where they've been isolated. So often when snakes become, you know, a population gets isolated, it shrinks and becomes dwarf, it gets smaller. However, these snakes have become ultra large, monster large tiger snakes. So I think Australia's got the top four of the top five poisonous snakes in the world are Australian. Now, the tiger snake is quite easy to see. It's got a tiger stripes on the back of it. There you go. And a particular sort of bluntish face. No fangs, a lot of them, because I've killed them with a shovel, and they don't like being killed, and the mouth goes up, and a bit of the venom starts to drip out of it. Ugh. But the tiger snakes are particularly bad for cats and dogs, because what they do is that they know they can't outrun them, so they just go in somewhere, hide, and wait for the the dog to come sniffing around, and then they attack it. So they ambush them. If you attack, why do I know this? Because I have actually seen this. I have seen this many, many times, and this is when you have a gun, for instance, and your dog is hunting a tiger snake for whatever reason, you have to be vigilant, because once it's onto a tiger snake, you only get one shot at it. I'm not. This sounds a tall tale, and you don't need a sort of a Smith and Wesson or anything. You just need an air rifle. You know, they're not like bringing down a possum or something like that. An air rifle on the head. You know, obviously you ought to be. There's no point hitting part of the body of a snake. It's pointless. You've basically got hit in the head with an air rifle shot, and it's actually not too hard to do. An air rifle is actually not so hard to shoot. It doesn't have a huge it's basically releasing the air. It doesn't have a jolt or anything like that, so it's actually quite, over a short distance, an air rifle is actually probably preference to any other weapon. And so it goes, and it's basically silence. It goes, "Tod!" I can't pronounce it. So yeah, this is true. The different snakes, it takes a little while to know the different things in your area. Of course, in the Sydney area, there's this, it's a lot of sort of half nasty. There's some water bugs, you know, little boating bugs, but they're sort of giant, and they give a bloody nasty bite. So you get things which, you know, that, of course. And there's also something else in the Sydney area called the velvet worm. And these are the most incredible. You should look it up on the internet. They've got all these little stumpy legs, and they attack their prey by squirting goo. There's several insects which squirt goo at you, and quite bad irritant. There's on the fruit trees, there's these little stink bugs, and I've never had it. Never ever had the problem of it, but apparently if you piss one of these off, they just all absolutely shit on you. This is really, and the velvet worm, which is not an insect, it's not nothing, it's It's in its own class. It's not an arthropod. It's right out of the pre-dinosaur areas. There's this little, the most incredible, there's just most incredible little critters. You see one and you go, what the hell? So it's like a Japanese anime insect with this, instead of legs, it's got little stubby sort of like Pokemon legs. Oh, I'd say about 20 on either side. Look, it's totally unusual. All the ones I've seen are like a twig, and a twig but fat, and they walk along. Yeah, though. And what they do, apparently they don't have, the story is that they don't have eyes, but they do, essentially they walk in, I think they're an ambush predator. So they position themselves up, and when a beetle comes past, that's the thing that they love to eat, beetle comes past, they squirt the shit out of it. Now that being said, there's a whole lot of Australian animals which are absolutely divine and benign, and these are the sugar ants. So these ants are huge ants, like they're pretty big ants, they're terrifying ants, but they're completely, you can pick them up, you can pat them, you put them back on the thing, and they cause no problem whatsoever. These are sugar ants. And of course, you sort of get used to them, and they're quite nice around to have around your house. One of the things I believe, I don't know whether it's true, but I think this is true, sugar ants protect your house from termites. But that, I believe that to be a true thing, because the moment we killed our sugar ants, or the sugar ants left, the termites moved in. So this is just my overall belief. And it sort of makes sense somehow, because the sugar ants, they just have this huge, the whole nest evacuates and it goes on a forage. It goes up the trees, and apparently they milk these aphids or something up the trees and come down there. But they are the most benign, beautiful things. There's also the processional caterpillar, which is this bizarre thing. So you see these furry caterpillars, and again, these are slightly aggressive caterpillars. You can't, if you touch them, they squirt you. Okay, they're furry and squirty. These processional caterpillars will form a line, and you'll see this Congo line, and or a whole lot on a tree. And we had a whole lot on a tree, and on the edge of our neighbour's fence. And what had happened is they'd gone. And I said to my neighbour, "Oh, they've gone," and they said, "Well, we know where they've gone." And they formed a procession, one after the other, went in and did some business's person's kitchen. I don't know whether they ate anything, but all clumped the kitchen, and then they all went out, all of them. They all followed one after the other. So you look up on the internet, processional caterpillars. These are some of the more rare things you find in Australia. Okay, that's off, and I'll try and put this in and try and put some podcasts together today. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.